Good evening and welcome to our final show of 2011. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It was a year that saw some big changes in Michigan and worldwide. In Washington, the year came to a close with the passage of a payroll tax cut extension bill that opened the door for the Keystone XL oil pipeline to proceed pending a decision by President Obama. Although the National Resource Defense Council says the project would be an environmental disaster. I'll talk to the group later in the show. And drug testing welfare recipients in Michigan, legislation that would make it a requirement, has already been proposed, and the State Department of Human Services is conducting feasibility tests to make sure they can do it. Is there a good reason not to? I'll ask Gilda Jacobs, the president and CEO of the Michigan League for Human Services. But first, it looks like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place when it comes to Iran, with plans for sanctions due to their continued efforts to develop a nuclear weapon, and now their threat to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. But would that, in fact, cripple the global economy? To find out, I'm joined by Stephen Shork. He's the editor of the Shork Report, an information clearinghouse for the energy industry. Stephen has more than 17 years of experience in physical commodity and derivatives trading, and you can find him at Shork Report. That's SCHORKReport.com. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's face it, most Americans have no idea where the Strait of Hormuz is located. So just how much of the world's oil supply and the oil we use here in the U.S. is shipped through that passageway?
Well, it's a significant passageway, 21 miles at its narrowest between the countries of Oman and Iran. And essentially, it's the conduit that allows vessels, oil tankers, to transit out of the Middle East and deliver oil to the global markets. Estimates range anywhere between 15 to 20% of the entire world's oil consumption travels through this narrow straightaway. So, indeed, Iran's threat to close off that conduit is indeed a significant event should it ever come to pass.
Okay, 20% of the world oil supply goes through there. If we do see a conflict that occurs there, and I guess it could be any kind of military action, would immediately mean no ships moving through there. How quickly would we see the price of oil spiking?
As soon as that first bullet left the barrel, you would see a massive knee-jerk spike in oil prices. The only question is not would we see it, it's just exactly how high prices would go. And that would be determined how serious the situation is and how long the potential disruption through the strait occurred. I would venture that if it was a quick turnover, you would see a very sharp jump in spike in price, but I would imagine you would see a jump back down as the market corrected. The concern here, of course, is any sort of delayed substantiated delay to barrels passing through. You would then see a very significant price spike. How high? No one can tell you, but we can tell you it would go to a level that the world could not afford.
Okay, $100, about $100 a barrel now. So but let's see, would we get to about $200 potentially?
Well, put it this way, in 2008, when you did not have any sort of headline like this, oil prices got up to $150. Now, that was on the cusp, or actually, we didn't know it at the time, but that was in the midst of a recession. And 6 months after trading at $150 a barrel, oil had crashed to $30 a barrel. So what I can say is we got up to $150 before. Certainly on a headline regarding Iran and the transit of oil through the Strait of Hormuz, certainly 150, 200, the sky was really the limit.
How quickly would we see that price hitting the gas stations, and how high could gas prices end up being here in the U.S. if it did go on for, let's say, several weeks?
Well, I tell you what, if it would go on for several weeks, and the general rule of thumb is for every dollar, you see about a 2.5 cent spike in gasoline prices. So if you want to take prices from 100, let's just keep the numbers round and take it to $200, you're talking another $2.50 per gallon. So the national average price of oil, gasoline right now for retail is approximately $3.30. So you're talking gasoline potentially upwards of $6 should we see that kind of rise in oil price. Now, as anyone's listening, you can't afford $6 a gallon. So something in the economy would have to give. And just to go back to answer your question, how high would we, how soon would we see the spike? well, if this was going to be a prolonged disruption to the flow of these barrels and you saw the spike in crude oil, the blink of an eye, you would see this reflected at the pump.
I'm talking to Stephen Shork. He's the editor of the Shork Report, an information clearinghouse for the energy industry. You can find him at schorkreport.com. So do we have the ability to make up this oil from other areas of the world?
Well, it's difficult. The OPEC members are saying they do have the capacity to offset these barrels. I have to be, and I am, skeptical. For instance, last summer, when you had the civil war in Libya and we lost 1.5 million barrels a day of Libyan oil, OPEC and Saudi Arabia, namely, could not make up those barrels. So now if you take Iran out of the question, well, we saw it last year. They couldn't do it with Libya, so there's no reason to think they can do it now if they couldn't do it 1 year ago. So this is the kind of game of chicken that Iran is playing. Now you have to look at what kind of risk are they taking. Well, the risk they are taking is an extreme spike in price. Now, that might seem good on the outset, but that is the death knell for this market, because what you would see then is obviously demand destroyed on the higher price, and then if you saw a global contraction in economic activity like we saw in 2008, you would see a substantial drop in oil prices. Now, Iran only gets its revenue from one source, and that's the sale of oil. So if the price of that falls, they lose.
Well, would it be surprising, though, if Iran was less than rational in its actions?
Indeed. Yes, I'm talking, of course, on a rational economic base. And that's what's interesting. And this is where Iran really sets itself apart, because the issue is not like other recent conflicts in the Middle East, which tends to be based on what, perceived colonialism or some sort of breakdown based on theology. This is pure economic motive. So if Iran goes ahead, they begin now to interfere with the revenue and the internal politics of the Arab-producing nations. So let's leave the Fifth Fleet of the United States Navy out of this. If Iran goes ahead and tries to block, they risk the war with Arabia. So this is biblical stuff, Persia against Arabia. And again, this is further risk that Iran, and yes, it is an irrational country led by irrational men.
One other thing, Saudi Arabia borders the Strait of Hormuz, the Gulf of Oman on one side. On the other side, the Red Sea is there. Are there other passageways to get Middle Eastern oil out other than through the Strait of Hormuz?
I guess the OPEC members right before Christmas had a meeting into this regard. Now there was the Trans-Arabian pipeline, but that's been shuttered for the past 20 years. So that was and would have been the major conduit to take Saudi oil and get it to export markets into the Red Sea or up through into the Mediterranean through export markets in Lebanon. But they don't have adequate infrastructure to offset the amount of oil that's flowing through. So the answer is no, they don't lack it. So now here we're on this side. As we saw last year with Libya, they lack the ability to offset this production. And even if they could produce it, they really do not have a viable conduit other than shipping it through oil tankers, through Hormuz. So this is really a major game of high-stakes poker right now.
Finally, when it comes to the price of oil, can you give me a summary of what kind of a year we had when it came to the price of oil in 2011? And what do you expect to see happening in 2012, barring any major incidents such as something at the Strait of Hormuz?
Indeed. Barring any sort of geopolitical headlines, I would expect oil to trade in between $90 and $105, $110 a barrel. So I think right now we are on the high end. To recap last year, at this point last year, oil was trading at $80 barrel range and heading towards $70. Now, what we saw at the end of the first quarter last year was, of course, the turmoil in Egypt, the turmoil in Libya. We had all the talk about contagion in the Middle East, and you saw a massive spike last spring, and oil prices went from $85 a barrel to $130 a barrel, and then they retreated. So last year was just tremendous. Going into next year, barring any sort of headline out of Iran or the Middle East or any sort of geopolitical event, I'm looking for oil prices to average around $95 a barrel. So I think you will at some point next year see oil below $90 a barrel. Certainly, you'll see it above $100 a barrel. But I would expect the bulk of the market to trade in between that $90 and $100 range. So let's split the difference. We'll call it $95 a barrel. That's, if we see it, that's very good news because that translates into gasoline next summer well below $4 a gallon. That's very good for the consumer, very good for the economy.
Stephen Shork, editor of the Shork Report, that is an information clearinghouse for the energy industry. Find him at shorkreport.com. Stephen, thank you very much for joining me.
It was great being here. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
You too, and we will be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.